live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go to our callers in just a moment, but for those of you who have not yet started morning devotions, I want to entice you to do just that by offering you morning by morning a devotional by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, which has blessed my life so much as I continue to read the devotions. This morning, I read April 3rd, the devotion for today, which was based in John 19:16. They took Jesus and led him away. Spurgeon writes, "He had been all night in agony. He had spent the early morning at the hall of Caiaphas. He had been hurried from Caiaphas to Pilate, from Pilate to Herod, and from Herod back again to Pilate. He had therefore but little strength left, and yet neither refreshment nor rest were permitted him. They were eager for his blood, and therefore led him out to die, loaded with the cross. What do we learn as we see our blessed Lord led forth? Do we not perceive that truth which was set forth in type and shadow by the scapegoat in the Old Testament? Did not the high priest bring the scapegoat and put both hands upon his head, confessing the sins of the people, and thus that those sins that were confessed might be laid upon the goat and cease from being laid upon the people? And then the goat was led away by a fit man into the wilderness, and it carried away with it the sins of the people, so that if they were sought for, they could not be found. And now we see Jesus brought forth before the priests and rulers who pronounce him guilty. God himself imputes our sins to him. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was made sin for us, and as the substitute for our guilt, bearing our sin upon his shoulders, represented by the cross, we see the great scapegoat led away by the appointed officers of justice. Beloved, can you feel assured that he carried your sin? As you look at the cross upon his shoulders, does it represent your sin? There is one way by which you can tell whether he carried your sin or not. Have you laid your hand upon his head, confessed your sin, and trusted in him? Then your sin lies not on you. It has all been transferred by blessed imputation to Christ, and he bears it on his shoulder as a load heavier than the cross. Let not that picture vanish till you have rejoiced in your own deliverance and adored the loving Redeemer upon whom your iniquities were laid. Again, a devotional by Charles Haddon Spurgeon in Morning by Morning, the devotional book available to you for the rest of the year for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute this month. Also want to mention on a CD that we've titled Straight Talk, Answers from God's Word, you will find a lot of the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, also available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You'll meet Neil, a sincere Mormon, respectfully and pleasantly right on this broadcast. He asked me how Christians can believe the Bible is the be-all and end-all of God's written revelation to humankind. And then a fascinating discussion followed. But there are so many other great calls on this CD. Questions about Islam and Satan and why we suffer and what happens when you die and so forth. Again, I'll send you a copy in appreciation when you partner with us in ministry this month. Whatever you can give, your gift of $25 or $100 or $250, whatever the Lord leads you to give, will help with the gifts of many others to keep this ministry reaching around the globe. Again, you can access the ministry in a number of different ways on the World Wide Web at equip.org, via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. First up today is David. He's listening in Canada, Surrey, British Columbia, listening on the web. Hi, David.
Hi there. Just a question and some help, I guess. A couple of years ago, some Jehovah's Witnesses that had been coming to my door invited me to their annual memorial service, and I accepted their invitation and went. And after the service, after listening to the passages that they used, I picked out one in particular, 1 Corinthians 11, specifically verse 25, where it says, "This cup is new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And just commented that given no one appeared to be eating or drinking, did they think that they were still remembering Jesus in the way that he wanted them to? And then secondly, with verse 26, which says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And I just questioned that if they, in fact, believe that Christ came invisibly, be it in 1914, why are they still doing this to begin with? The result wasn't exactly what I'd hoped for, in that now they're just not visiting me anymore. So I guess one of my first questions is whether I'm onto anything with that line of questioning, and secondly, if there's a better way that I could have done that with a better result.
Well, I'm not going to critique what you did. I think what's important, however, with the Jehovah's Witnesses, as with cultists in general, is to start with the main and plain things. I mean, that's what's really important. So I think that to focus on the nature of God, the person and work of Jesus Christ, is preeminent in any discussions. We can get off on a lot of rabbit trails with the Watchtower organization, but it all starts with their denial of the nature of God and the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I had been trying to, you know, get at that when they were visiting at my door, but, you know, in this particular environment, I was dealing specifically with, you know, what the event was dealing with.
Well, no doubt the Lord was leading you.
I hope so.
Well, I appreciate you witnessing to the witnesses. I mean, it's a great testimony to all of us. And I think this is the issue for all of us as we listen to this call. First of all, a man with passion to make a difference while there is yet time. But also, I think instructive is that we want to be prepared, to be equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. I was just flying back from California late last night, and on the plane I was sitting next to a gentleman who was asking me questions, and as a result of that we had dialogue. But I was prepared to engage in that dialogue, and as a result I could use well-reasoned answers as springboards or opportunities to communicate. Now, this was a man who was very well versed himself, so we had a wonderful discussion, but I think it underscores the reality that we need to be prepared or equipped. So the issue is never evangelism. The real issue is equipping for evangelism. If you're equipped, God will give you opportunities. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matt. He's listening in South Carolina on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matt.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about the millennial reign. I've heard a lot of different preachers say different things. Are we going to be in our spiritual bodies, or are there going to be some of us in our spiritual body and some of us in our physical bodies?
I don't know what a spiritual body is. You know, the Bible is a spiritual book, but it is yet a physical book. So I think when we talk about a spiritual body, we're not talking about a spirit body, which would be an oxymoron. What we're talking about is physicality in the resurrection. And when we're resurrected at the second appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be resurrected in our physical bodies, which is to say that the body that dies is the body that rises. And I don't think that happens at different times. There are those who do think that that happens at different times, but I think Jesus made it plain that all of this happens at the same time. Do not be amazed at this, said Jesus Christ. The time is coming when all who are in the graves shall come forth. Some shall rise to live, and some shall rise to be eternally condemned. So at the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be resurrected, and then we will stand in judgment, which is to say that there's a separation between sheep and goats, but there's a judgment for each. There are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. So I don't think that there's different resurrections at different times. The resurrection will take place when Jesus appears a second time. And even those who are still alive will be resurrected in the sense that they will be transformed from mortal to immortal, from perishable to imperishable, and from corruptible to incorruptibility.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot more sense right there, the way you put it. Another quick question about cremation. Is it bad for us to be cremated, or should we be buried?
Well, I think what's really important is that at death, we use the occasion to communicate the gospel, the Christian worldview, which is that the body that dies is the body that rises. And one of the reasons that Christians, in a biblical motif, bury the body is because that very act is pointing towards resurrection. Cremation, in its Eastern permutations, points to escape from the body as opposed to the resurrection of the body. But that does not mean that you cannot cremate. It is to say that if you do cremate, you want to make sure that you communicate in undeniable, unmistakable terms the Christian worldview that that body will yet rise. And when we say that the body will rise, it's not that every molecule will be resuscitated. It is that that there's continuity between the body that dies and the body that rises.
Oh, okay. But thanks, Tang. I really enjoy your program, and thanks for answering my questions.
You got it, Matt. Appreciate your call so much. Want to go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Gary, Denver, Colorado, next. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, Hank, I just had a quick question. This is in reference to death. When you die, now this is as far as mainstream Christian Bible, do you go to the grave, and are you in this deep sleep until the resurrection, or do you die and your spirit goes to paradise? Because I've heard both.
Yeah, well, the answer is, the biblical answer is, you die and you go to Abraham's bosom or paradise, which is a metaphorical way of speaking about being in the presence of God. When I say metaphorical, a lot of people think that I'm trying to spiritualize this in some sense. No, I'm not. Metaphors are magnifying glasses by which we perceive the greater truth, and the greater truth is absent from the body, present with the Lord. Or as our Lord Jesus Christ himself said to the thief on the cross in Luke 23:43, this day you'll be with me in paradise, which is to say the body continues in death until the resurrection. The soul, however, continues in awareness until the resurrection, which is to say, the soul apart from the body does not have awareness, does not have location in space, but does have awareness, which is to say that my dad, who died in 1997, is aware of being in the presence of the Lord. So he's not dead in the sense of having no conscious existence. No, quite the opposite. He does have conscious existence in the presence of the Lord.
Well, that's how I understood it, Hank. But I was listening to the fellow, and I'm sure you've heard of him. I won't say his name, but it's It's a White Horse Media. And his interpretation, he says, and he studied it very deeply, he says, is that we do go to the grave. We are in a deep sleep until we are resurrected.
Well, again, my opinion is no better than his opinion. You need to take my opinion, his opinion, and test it as you're doing in light of Scripture, and then hold fast to that which is good. So you're doing exactly what should be done, and that is the final court of arbitration becomes the testing ground for truth. So we always want to point back to the Word of God. Again, it is the final court of arbitration. It is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, as always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Back as soon as possible.
At the Christian Research Institute, we count every gift from God's people as a special blessing. To say thank you for your support, we'd like to send you Hank's book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, to give you assurance in the reliability of God's Word. In Has God Spoken? Hank counters the contentions of Bible critics and shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures does not stem from wishful thinking. Rather, belief logically flows from an honest examination of the evidence. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team or give a gift of $100 or more, you'll receive a personalized edition of Has God Spoken? To donate, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI.
or when you go online to equip.org. What Bible Answer Man broadcast has touched you most, answered a question that had bothered you for years, or given you a fresh insight into God's truth? At the Christian Research Institute, we've gathered some of the most meaningful calls onto one audio CD, the ones we believe will help and encourage you the most. And we'd like you to have it as our thank you when you partner with us through a gift of ministry support today. On Straight Talk, Answers from God's Word, you'll hear Hank answer questions from people of all ages and all situations in life, each with their own stories and earnest desire for biblical answers. With your faithful prayers and support, you enable us to continue to provide those answers. So please send your gift today and receive your copy of Straight Talk on CD. Call 888-7000-CRI or give securely online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Anthony, listening in Monroe, North Carolina, on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. Absolutely appreciate your ministry and everything you do for the kingdom. I had a quick question regarding Steve Furtick. He is the head pastor of Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. My wife and daughter and I attended the church last year for maybe 8 months. We subsequently left the church to attend another church closer to our home. A week or so ago, I found out that he had been endorsing Joel Osteen. And my wife and I always actually liked his preaching, very dynamic and, you know, very good preaching, I thought, and I don't want to turn this into like guilt by association or anything, but I was pretty disappointed to find out that he was endorsing him. I just really wanted to know what your take on that is. And
I'm not familiar with his endorsements, but I think that you are right, and you've had the experience of being in his church for a period of time, that he is preaching the essentials of the historic Christian faith and in a very compelling fashion, reaching a lot of young people. And I think for that reason, his ministry is to be commended. So again, I don't know much about his endorsements or who he associates with, but I think that we need to take each one of these people on their own merits. Joel Osteen, I think, has clearly communicated concepts and constructs in the public domain that compromise or confuse central Christian doctrine, particularly when he suggests that Jesus Christ did not finish the work of atonement on the cross, and therefore the work of atonement needed to be completed in hell. And it seems as though he continuously embellishes that story, and he's just dead wrong. And I think it's important for people that have public platforms like that to be careful about what they're saying, because a lot of people are making life decisions based on the prowess and the communication that comes from the mouths of these very eminent men.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to, you know, see your take, and I do appreciate that. I guess just maybe do a little bit more research onto what that is that they told me about his association with Joel Osteen. But like you said, I got to take him at his merits and what he's doing for the kingdom. So I really appreciate your time and your answer for that.
Well, you got it. My pleasure. And I've written about my viewpoints with respect to the viewpoints that Joel Osteen is communicating from the pulpit in my book, Christianity in Crisis, which deals with the teachings of Joel Osteen in great detail. Again, that book is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, that number 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. Eli, listening in Oakhurst, California. Hi, Eli.
Hi, Hank. I just had a quick question. I was just wondering why does Greg Laurie and Pastor Jeremiah say that there is going to be a pre-tribulational rapture, and you disagree with them? I was just wondering your view on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a classic example of an essentials unity and non-essentials liberty and all things charity. I greatly respect Greg Laurie and David Jeremiah. I respect their ministries. I respect the fact that they are doing a tremendous service to the body of Christ. And in the case of both men, they're reaching many people who are now not part of the body of Christ. They're reaching them with their messages. So I applaud their ministries greatly. But the issue of rapture is an issue that people have debated vigorously. And I think that the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, all these kinds of things are issues that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately do not have to divide over, but I do think we can debate them vigorously. I don't think that the Bible teaches a pre-tribulational rapture anywhere. And I do not think that the passages that are typically pointed to are passages that teach the idea of a pre-tribulational rapture. For example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is very clearly in context about the great and glorious truth of resurrection, not a pre-tribulational rapture. And therefore, you need to take what I say or what they say and test what we say in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay, well, thank you for just clarifying that for me. You know, that does make a lot of sense. You know, it all can be debated like that. But, all right, well, thank you, Hank. I listen to your program every day. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Eli. I appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Shelly next, Sugar Falls, Ohio, listening on WRFD. Hi, Shelly.
Hi, Hank. Wow, I finally got through to you. I try all the time.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I do appreciate your ministry, and I do listen to you on my way home from work.
Oh, bless you.
I just have a couple of questions about, well, the verse that says, 1,000 years is like one day, or one day is like 1,000 years to God or to us?
Yeah, I mean, it's what Peter says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And then he goes on to say, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. As some understand slowness, he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, I think you have to look at the text and see some clues in terms of how you interpret the text. The first clue, and an important clue, is that this passage should not be taken literalistically, because Peter does not say a day is 1,000 years, but a day is like 1,000 years. It's a simile, it's an analogy, it's a comparison, not a comparable. And when the psalmist, in very similar fashion, says 1,000 years is like a watch in the night. A watch in the night, by the way, is 3 to 4 hours. Do we suppose that David the psalmist is saying 1,000 years is equivalent to 3 or 4 hours? Of course not. What's going on is God's relation to the passing of time is different than our relationship to the passing of time. We think our lives are long, but from God's perspective, they're but a vapor. That's what's really going on in terms of the simile that's being used here.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. But I've been listening to the other callers, and the thing about the rapture and whether or not the dead in Christ will rise and all these questions, because there are several, well, there's one passage in the Bible that says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But then you also have it where it says that, you know, at the rapture, that the dead in Christ will rise. So,
well, that's a classic example of a confusion in the body of Christ between the intermediate state and the eternal state. And again, to cast that out, because I think it's important, particularly as we are approaching the celebration of resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which ensures our resurrection as well. It's important, therefore, at this time to recognize what happens when you die. When you die, there's an unnatural rending of body and soul. The body goes back to the grave. It's buried. It goes back to the ground from whence it came. The soul, however, is in the presence of the Lord, as you quoted, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But that is the intermediate state. The eternal state takes place when Jesus appears a second time. When he does, then the soul returns to the body, and that body rises immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And then you're a body-soul unity again, which, by the way, is what it means to be human. When your mother gave birth, she didn't give birth to only a body. She gave birth to a body-soul unity. In fact, even further back, we can say when she conceived, she didn't conceive only a body. She conceived a body-soul unity. At death, there is a separation between the two. At the second appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's a reuniting of the two.
Okay. Wow, that's wonderful, Hank. Thanks for explaining that.
You are welcome. Yeah.
And I really do appreciate your ministry, and God bless you and everything that you do. You're wonderful.
Well, you've made my day. Thank you. You're very kind. And you know what happens to our bodies and what happens to the universe goes hand in hand. I mean, that's the wonder. It's the majesty of resurrection. Not only are we resurrected, but this universe is restored. It now groans, as it were. It's subject to death and travail, but it will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And so, too, our bodies. They're mortal now, but they're going to be immortal. And we look forward to that, a new heaven and a new earth. And when Jesus appears, the overlapping, interlocking domains of heaven and earth will no longer be separate. They will be one. And that's why we can pray legitimately, as our Lord taught us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we get to be instruments of that coming grace. We look forward to the time that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appears a second time and puts all things to right. But in the meantime, we have been commissioned to make a difference. We have been left here for a reason. And I think if we understood, like the first century Christians, that reason, we would live our lives far differently. Some have been granted by the Lord great wealth, but on the day that you die, you can't take it with you. So in the present, you have to invest it. Invest it in ministries that are making a difference. The war generation knew how to do that. They raised up great ministries. They raised up great institutions to take care of the needs of people spiritually and physically. And we're asking you to do the same thing by supporting this ministry. We believe with all our hearts that God has raised this ministry up. The testimonies of changed lives are overwhelming at times. It can bring real tears to your eyes if you recognize that real lives are being changed in all kinds of spheres. Some are coming out of the kingdom of the cults. Some are rank pagans. They're coming to faith in Christ. Their lives are being transformed. And you can have a part in that by supporting this ministry. That's why we ask. We want you to be co-laborers in Christ in this one-of-a-kind ministry, and we want you to be co-laborers because truth matters. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or pick up the phone, talk to one of our resource consultants, make an investment in ministry, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Be right back.
The current issue of the Christian Research Journal is like nothing we've ever done before. We're offering a special theme edition of The Question of the Origins of Life, featuring a sneak preview of Hank Hanegraaff's upcoming work, The Creation Answer Book. The Creation Answer Book won't be released for several months, but we're making available a sneak peek into this important work with Hank's article, 10 Urgent Questions and Answers About Origins. Since the origin of life is the apologetic issue of our time, we've devoted the entire journal to this crucial topic. This special preview issue is available for a gift to the Christian Research Institute, so donate today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return right after this short break. Christ's resurrection is the cornerstone of Christian faith. This historical event not only vindicates Jesus' claims to deity, it ensures the future bodily resurrection of all who put their trust in Jesus Christ. To help prepare your heart for Easter, we would like to share with you The Weeping Chamber, a life-changing work of historical fiction by Sigmund Brouwer. The Weeping Chamber will transport you to the heart of ancient Jerusalem during the days leading up to Christ's death with an intensely personal story of the intersection of two lives, Simeon, a person much like you and me, desperately seeking redemption, and Yeshua, who will provide redemption for all. For your donation in support of the outreach ministries of the Christian Research Institute, we'll send you a special CRI edition of The Weeping Chamber. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. From Genesis to Revelation, the entire New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, including Richard Dreyfuss, John Voight, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Michael York, and Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
With feature film quality sound design and original score composed and conducted by Stefano Minetti, the Word of Promise audio Bible transports the listener back in time. When Moses led the children of Israel, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and when Jesus walked here on earth. Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program, where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Right back to our callers. Ben is next. He's listening in Kansas City, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Appreciate you having me on the air. I'm actually calling with kind of a twofold question. So my son, my 9-year-old, asked me the other day about God and how he could be, how he couldn't have somebody come before him, in other words. And I tried to tell him that he's the Alpha and the Omega and the First, but didn't do an adequate job of explaining to him that he's just always had been. So I would like a little help in trying to explain that to him.
Yeah.
9-year-old. Now, the second part, that led me to think about the origin of the universe and the fact that a lot of creationists go back to the Big Bang, and that there had to be some sort of catalyst for the formation or the beginning of the universe. And I'm wondering if there's any tie to that, and how could there not be a beginning to God?
If there
has to be a beginning to the universe.
Yeah, those are related questions, and if there is a Big Bang, there has to be a Big Banger. So the universe has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. With respect to the universe is not merely an illusion. The universe, we know from science, did not spring from nothing. The universe has not eternally existed because it's dying of a heat loss death. And therefore, we can only logically say what the Bible says, God created the heavens and the earth. And if that is the case, then the first question that you asked immediately comes to mind, as it has with your 9-year-old. But here's the thing. Unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal. And an infinite eternal being can logically be demonstrated to be what we call him, an uncaused first cause. So the universe had to have a beginning. Modern science tells us that. But the cause of the universe did not have to have a beginning. And to suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe had to have a cause as well, leads to a logical dead end. Because an infinite regression of finite causes does not answer questions regarding source, simply makes the effects more numerous.
Okay, so then to answer his question, the difference is how do you then explain, outside of the two questions and how they relate or don't relate, how do I explain to him that God has always been? Is there any easy way to do that in the 9-year-old's term?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing whatsoever philosophically absurd with the notion that there was an uncaused first cause. The only philosophically absurd notion is that the universe could have come into existence without a cause. To say nothing created everything is philosophically, logically, and certainly theologically an absurdity. But to say that about God, the laws that apply to the universe don't apply to God. So it's not an absurdity. It's a logical answer. In fact, it is the only logical answer. I mean, that's the point. I mean, the point is that philosophical naturalism can only provide three answers to the existence of the universe in which we find ourselves. And I alluded to this at the prologue to my answer to your question. The first is that it's an illusion. But no one holds that in Western culture, at least no one rational does, in my view, because even a full-blown solipsist looks both ways before he crosses the street. The second idea that has been posited is that the universe sprang from nothing. But as I've quipped in one of my books, Julie Andrews knew better than that. She's saying, nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever could. That's just at the face of it an absurdity, because every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. The third possibility is that the universe sprang or that the universe eternally existed. And that is the notion that has been held by people in the past. But now we know on the basis of empirical or testable science that that is not the case, that the universe is dying of a heat loss death. We know this as a result of laws like the second law of thermodynamics or entropy. So the three possibilities that are posited by philosophical naturalism don't work. There's only one other possibility, and that possibility is found in the very first page of the very first book of the Bible, which says, "In the beginning, God." And we say that God is the uncaused first cause.
So with reference to the first question about God always being there, really it comes down to faith and the fact that we can't totally understand that God just always has been, kind of up there with the Trinity.
Well, I don't think it comes down to blind faith, though, because the universe had to have a cause, and therefore there has to be a God. In other words, if you look at a basketball, you don't presuppose that basketball just happened. You believe that there's a manufacturer of that basketball. Think about the infinite complexity of the universe in which we live. Obviously, there had to be a cause who is greater than the effect we call the universe. And we say that cause is God. That's not blind faith, that's faith in evidence. Now, there's more that we know about God, however, and that is that God has transcended time and space. He has come into our universe, and he has communicated with us. Jesus Christ demonstrates that he's God through the immutable fact of the resurrection, and he has communicated that what was communicated in the Bible with respect to origins is indeed true. Not a single jot or tittle will disappear from the law until everything has been fulfilled, said Jesus. So Jesus put his imprimatur, his stamp of approval, on the five books of Moses. And therefore, we have the testimony of Jesus Christ himself. Furthermore, we can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and I build a cumulative case for that in my latest book, which is titled, Has God Spoken? So, yes, you're right. It takes faith, but it's never blind faith. It's faith in irrefutable fact or faith in evidences.
All right. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I've written about this in various places. One of the places that comes to mind is the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Also, my upcoming book, The Creation Answer Book, tackles this very question in more detail. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Brian next. He's in Oklahoma listening on KQCV. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I really like your program. It's really helped me out. I have a question about basically when you're trying to witness to somebody, and what does the scripture say about you more or less, you know, just kind of give up, or do you give up? I know in the New Testament, Paul, you know, he wrote to the churches and said that, you know, there were certain members of the church that they just, you know, you give up on.
Well, you brush the dust from your sandals, as it were. And yes, but here's the issue. I don't think that we're called to convert anyone. That's not our province. It's not our prerogative. We're called to be always ready to give an answer. Sometimes we testify with our lips. Sometimes we testify with our love and our life. But we are living witnesses. We're ambassadors. Ye are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God is making his way plain through you. So you need to be a living epistle, someone always ready to give an answer, but that doesn't mean that you think that it is your responsibility to convert anybody. If someone is ready to listen, you should be ready to speak, but there's no sense in trying to force feed someone. So there are people that are really good friends of mine who I spend time with. They don't believe in God. I constantly try to testify to them in different ways. Most of the time, it's by my love and by my life. Sometimes I leave little things, say, oh, I thought you might want to read this. I'm always ready to talk to them, but I also recognize I can't convert them. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So I keep preparing myself so I'm the most usable tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit, and I wait for the time that the Lord does his work, either through me or through someone else.
I see. Okay. Well, that's what I was kind of wondering about. Just wasn't sure, you know, to give up on this person or to...
Well, don't give up on them. You can pray for them, and again, you can be a testimony by your life and by your love, but you don't have to feel as though it is your responsibility to try to talk them into the kingdom. So I don't think we have to run around furiously trying to grab people by the lapel, shake them, and say, brother, are you saved? What we have to do, on the other hand, is prepare ourselves, study to show ourselves approved, workmen who do not need to blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay. I appreciate it, Hank. And one other question, that daily devotional that you were talking about earlier, how do I go about getting that?
Which book?
You say you have a daily devotional for each day?
Oh, yes. It's not my devotional, but it's one that I recommend. It's one that I'm using this year. and it is called Morning by Morning, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. So if you hang on, we can get it out to you. The three ways to get it is, one, on the World Wide Web at equip.org. The second way is via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The third way is through our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. And for you, a fourth way, just hang on.
Okay, that's great. Okay, Hank, thanks a lot.
You got it. And I am hoping that many will join me that haven't joined me. That's why I mention this book from time to time. It's a wonderful way to facilitate your devotions, your time with the Lord. And so often we don't spend that time with the Lord. We're so busy in our daily lives that we forget what is most important. Remember, we're looking forward to spending an eternity with Jesus Christ, and we can get a foretaste of that eternity now. And so I'm always looking for good resources that help facilitate that time you spend with the Lord. Morning by Morning, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org, as I just mentioned. You can order via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or with our resource consultants via the phone, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I'll stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to you as soon as I possibly can. There'll be a short break, and then we'll resume answering questions in just a few moments. If you want to dial in your question, you can do that for the next hour as well. That number, once again, just to remind you, is 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. But again, you can figure it out, 888-ASK-HANK. Just dial that number for the next hour, and I'll keep answering your calls. And I do appreciate everyone that prays for this ministry, that encourages us, and that supports us financially. We need your support. We're doing some deficit spending right now. We need to bring up the support some so that we can take in what we spend.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and help believers sharpen their discernment skills. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking.
It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.